Oh my goodness. Merry Christmas, Shepherd Church. Turn and tell somebody next to you, Merry Christmas. Even if they rode in the car with you, tell them Merry Christmas. Oh man, what a treat. We welcome you here, especially those of you who are guests and those who may be saying, Pastor Dudley's so much shorter than I heard. We are thankful that our senior pastor had surgery and has in recovery, and things are going great. Praise God for that. Amen. Amen. And I was touched and honored when he said, Pastor Jeff, would you do the Christmas services? What he did not know is I am a total Christmas junkie. Christmas starts at our house October 1st. I mean, I start sneaking things out, you know, Elf on a Shelf, and Catherine's like, honey, please. But I'm like, it's Christmas. It's the time the whole world is talking about Jesus. And I go for all of it. I love the Christmas movies, right? Are you guys in the Christmas movies, right? You know, you'll shoot your eye out. Or, Mom, he's just a kid. What can he do to us? Or, I'm a cotton-headed ninny muggins. If you do not know those lines, you need to spend more time on the Hallmark Channel watching some Christmas movies. Now, I also am big, on the Christmas songs, the songs that we've sung today, the music that we've been lifting up, and the family meals, the times of being together, the ham and the turkey and the dessert and the dessert and the dessert and the dessert. Can I get an amen? Oh, it's a wonderful season. But the biggie for me is the Christmas lights and decorations. Anybody gone in any of the neighborhoods where a neighborhood just goes nuts? Oh, I remember doing that with my dad. We used to live in Downey, and we'd drive around in our station wagon with a cup of hot chocolate. It was a free Christmas movie to just drive along and see the lights, and my wife and I still do it. In fact, we were out of town in another community, and Catherine found online that this one section of the community goes nuts at Christmas. And I mean nuts. 5 square blocks. Some of these people hire professionals to decorate their houses. You say, oh, you got to be kidding. Take a look. This is the kind of thing we saw. That is one house. That's just a house. Or how about this one? I mean, every place we went, it was like, wow. And here's all these people, hundreds and hundreds of people walking and singing carols. I was in heaven. And then this kid and his family walked past us, walking the other way. And the kid said to his dad, Dad, why do they do all this? And I waited. And the dad said, I don't know. They must have more money than they got sense. I don't know. Catherine grabbed my arm because I was about to turn around and go back and preach some gospel to that family. I wanted to say, oh, Dad, you missed a teachable moment. Do you know why we do this? We hang lights. We turn on the tree. We sparkle at this time of year because of an ancient connection between lights in the darkness and the birth of the light of the world, Jesus Christ. That's why we do this. It goes back farther than the 17th century, which is when the Germans started putting little candles in the evergreen boughs and then put candles on their homes, or the 1800s. In fact, in the year 1800, it was Thomas Edison who showed the world the first electrical Christmas display. No, it goes all the way back to the beginning. I mean the beginning, when darkness and light were in battle. Only darkness seemed to be winning. You say, why do you believe that? Look at the very first book, very first verse of the Bible. Here, we'll read it together. In the beginning, God created the and the earth. Now, that's where we typically stop teaching the kids. Okay, but watch this next. Now the earth was formless and empty, and what? Darkness was over the surface of the deep. Darkness was in control. Since the beginning, darkness for mankind has been a symbol of that which is dangerous or empty or scary or foreboding. It is no wonder that when Jesus comes, one of the first prophets to write boldly about him, Isaiah, in his 49th chapter, calls Jesus this, I will also make you a what? a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach over all of the ends of the earth. And then you come into the New Testament. Is it any wonder that John, possibly Jesus' closest friend, John the Apostle, who begins his gospel this way? In the beginning, wait a minute, John, you're plagiarizing Moses. He says, I know, just stay with me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then two verses later, look what he says. In him was life, and that life was of all mankind. The light shines in the dark. You got to say that one with me. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not. Okay, now hang on. Overcome it is one way of translating one of my favorite Greek words. I'm sure you have many. This is mine. My favorite Greek word is katalambano. Try saying it. Katalambano. Katalambano is a compound Greek word. That means it's two words put together. The word kata has to do with to overpower or subjugate something. Lambano has to do with to take hold of or grasp something. For this reason, katalambano is translated at least four different ways in different English versions of the Bible. One way is light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not comprehended it. You say, that's a weird way to translate it. No, here's another one. Light shines in the darkness, and the darkness hasn't grasped it. You know how we use that phrase? Somebody says something, you say, wait a minute, I don't get a hold of that. I don't grasp that. Well, that's the sense in which when you get an idea, gotcha. That means I've got a hold of it. Now think about John smiling as the Spirit moves him to write, katalambano. The darkness really doesn't grasp the light. It doesn't get it. It looks at Christmas and says, I don't know what all this is about. The darkness looks at those of us who worship Jesus at times and say, I just don't get it. But the darkness, John knows, is in a constant battle to katalambano it, to take control, to overpower, to subjugate. And he says the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness can't beat it. The darkness will try. It will try to wipe out the name of Jesus. It will try to say religion is a mockery. It will try to say, come on, give me a break. It's almost 2020, and you're still talking about a dead carpenter on a cross who is really the Son of God? And we say, Emmanuel, God with us, and we'll do that until he comes again. Amen? The challenge, of course, is that we are drawn to the darkness, if we can all just have a little Christmas confession here. We are drawn to the darkness. It's a love-hate relationship. Remember when you're a kid, somebody dares you, go in that dark room, go in that dark hallway, go down that dark alley. There's a part of you that's curious. And then as you experience darkness in your life, you start to realize darkness is a great place to hide stuff. And you start to get comfortable kind of living on the dark side. And you find that it's not only a place to see things you can't see other places, but to hide and to cover. And of course, the greatest fear any human has is being alone in the dark. If the lights go out and I've got my wife's hand to hold, I'm all right. But if I'm alone in the dark, oh man, it's been more than 20 years ago, but I'll never forget being locked out of my own house. Now, that happens from time to time, but not when you're on your way to, say, the wedding ceremony and you're the preacher. And you have the ring bearer with you because he's your son and he's so excited about being in the wedding. Make a long story short, Catherine had taken the car because she was doing the flowers for the wedding and helping coordinate, and she had said, let me just take your keys because I need to open the building. So she took all my keys and just left her car key. Fine, no problem. But when I went out to get in her car and realized, I left my Bible with the license on the kitchen table, I rushed back. I don't have keys to the house. Okay, I do what you would do. You start walking around seeing who left a door undone, who left a window unlatched. I'll climb in. I'm not beyond that. Our house was totally secure that day. There was not a window that was, that never happens. And I'm to the bottom calculus of what is the cheapest window in my home to break? If I have to break, because I gotta do it. I don't have a cell phone. This is back before cell phones, right? And then I see it. I'm standing at the garage door thinking the garage door window is pretty small. And a little side part around the house where the trash cans are. It's dark. We never go around there much. And I see at the bottom of the door, there's a doggy door. Doggy door. Thank you, Jesus, for doggy doors. I lift up that little thing, but then I start measuring me and the door. And then I think of my son. He's not quite 4 and rather small. Unfortunately, he is also the scaredest of my children when it comes to the dark. I got him out of the car and I said, Riley, I need to take your little shirt off and I need to, here, take your nice shoes off. But come here, I just need you to do something. What, Daddy, what? I said, come around here, you're gonna help us because Daddy's gotta get something out of the house and it's all locked up. Okay, well, here's what you're gonna do. See this little doggy door? Oh, is that a doggy door? We don't have a dog. I know, we'll get one. But you see this little door? I need you to crawl through this door and go across the garage and hit the big button to put up the garage door. Can you do that? I don't know. Oh, you can. He started to back up, and I did it. I lied to him. I said, Riley, you're a brave boy. You're the bravest of all my sons. You can do this. Okay. I'll never forget him sticking his little head through that door and popping right back out. It's dark in there. I said, it is, buddy, but as soon as you hit that button, the light of the garage thing will come on. But it's dark. I know it is, bud, but you can do this for your mommy, for me, for the bride and groom. Please. And he sticks his head through and comes back out. Can you hold my hand? I gotcha. In my little almost 4-year-old goes, yes, okay. I can't reach it, Dad. I can't reach it. Buddy, you're gonna have to let go of my hand. His grip tightened. I said, buddy, I'll be right here. Slowly he lets go. It's just 4 steps. 1, 2, and then he stepped on the skateboard. Boom, ah! I was so frustrated. I heard this little voice say, I'm okay. And I didn't say anything. And the door had kind of dropped down. And then I heard him say, Dad, are you still there? I wanted to say, no, he's not, but I am. You know, but I didn't do that. I slid up the door and I said, of course, Riley, I'm right here. Just go, hit the button. He scampers up and hits the button and I run around and give him a big hug. You're such a great boy. You're so brave. He said, Dad, I wasn't brave. I said, yes, you were. He said, no, I just knew you were right there. Let that wash over you, friend, because some of you are standing in darkness right now and you're wondering, are you there, Jesus? Are you there, Lord? Every time you see a Christmas light, every time you see the houses on the lights on somebody's house or the lights on a tree, every time you see the icicles, every time you see that Christmas light, you remember that your Father's saying, I'm right here. I will always be right here. You don't have to live in the dark. You don't have to live in the dark. And tonight, we want you to know that if darkness has tamed you or has terrorized you, if darkness has trapped you, if you're finding yourself, what do I do? Step into the light. That is the light of Christ, the light of the gospel, the light of the truth of how God loves you. That's why Emmanuel, God with us, says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And if there was a fourth, he'd have said, and I am the light of all men. And if you're a Christian, you're supposed to be carrying that light with you 24/7, 365. We're supposed to be lit up all year long. Amen. You know, when it comes to this tension between light and dark, maybe we don't get it because we don't know much dark in the sense of physical dark. Maybe if you've been in a room with no windows and the lights go off. Maybe if you've gone out camping, you know, way out where all of a sudden, when it gets dark, dark. I need you to know that when Jesus Christ walked the earth, he lived in a time when darkness meant real danger. When darkness was a place you would never want to be alone. You wanted to be behind the safety of the walls of your home, because if it was dark, it was scary. Now, I asked the tech team, I said, can we do dark in here? And there are certain lights we cannot turn off. But I want you to experience just a moment dark, because it's the only way to understand how powerful light is. So if you're one of those afraid of the dark, go ahead and grab that stranger's hand next to you. And you ready? You ready for the shock? All right, here we go. Please. Yeah, I know. I mean, it's still not very dark, right? But you got to admit, with just that one little candle, you're a kid again in a big dark room. And you see, I have seen what darkness does to men. Darkness that has so often been the cultivator of sin, a place where faith gets lost and then hopelessness steps in. Looking back, Israel faced that pitch black attack of fear and oppression, tragedy and transgression, anxiety and depression. Oh, I know what darkness does to men. But because God sent Christ, your souls, to defend, your story doesn't have to have that end. You see, Emmanuel's birth brought a beautiful light to our terrible night. Because you are made for the dark, you were made for the light. The angels' chorus sang the truth like sparks that caused the shepherds' hearts to ignite. Because you are made for the dark, you were made for the light. Bethlehem's star shone with hope that one day Jesus would make all things right. Because we're not made for the dark, we're made for the light. Oh, you were made to know. You were made to know a Father who loves you, a Son who came to save, a Holy Spirit that comforts and ignites the light of flame. And that's why we lift high the torch of truth and we shout what scriptures say. Light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it. Oh, the cross was the cost of our salvation, and Jesus did not run from it. But for the sake of the sinners all over the earth, Messiah came in this scandalous birth so that every human being who ever said, "Why am I alive?" would hear Christmas sing out on a holy night. You weren't made for the darkness. You were made for the light. Amen. Amen. Bow with me. Father, Father, you did not make us to cower in the corners of the darkness. You did not make us to be fearful. You did not make us with a spirit of timidity. But Father, you gave us through Christ the light of the good news. Tonight, today, this celebration season, Father, we ask that you would help us to never forget your light through Jesus, our King. And for any here who have never had that light lit within them, may they claim Jesus this very day, we pray, and in our holy Savior, from manger to cross's name, we pray, amen. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
One of the traditions around here is the candle lighting, and Jeff kind of gave it new meaning today as he talked about the light. We all have light within us, and as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit living in us, and our desire this year has been to love this city, to love LA, and it begins with your light and my light and us shining that light in this city, in wherever corner of the city we're in, and eventually we illuminate the city with Christ's love. We're going to take an opportunity now to light these candles. And you saw this candle lit before the service. It's been lit the entire service. I'm going to light my candle off of this candle, and then a few people are going to come. And we're going to just start lighting candles one at a time. And eventually this room will be illuminated. Last night I said illuminated. But illuminated just from the single flame. As we look around in a few moments, you'll see what one single flame, one single light can do in a room. Again, I probably don't need to say this, but be very careful. I know there's some young people in the audience. As you light these candles, again, hair product tends to be very flammable, so keep it back from the person in front of you. I was telling Jeff last night, I came in here confessing as a pastor. My light wasn't bright. It had been a long week and long couple weeks, and Christmas kind of snuck up on me. But this message was so encouraging, Jeff, and I appreciate it. Just remind us the light we have in us, and darkness can't defeat the light.
Amen.
And it's just a matter of continuing to shine.
Amen.
Regardless of what's going on, you know, God has brought us all through different things and to different things, and you just need to be you and be the you God designed you to be, and again, continue to shine your light brightly. In a moment, when we get them all lit, we're going to sing the Silent Night a cappella. That's why this stage is full of people right now, not just me.
Looks like stars out there.
Go ahead and hold those up, and then carefully stand up, and let's sing Silent Night together. Look around the room. It's pretty amazing to see, again, the impact one light can have on a room. Let's sing this song. I want to wish you all a very, very Merry Christmas, and want to thank you for being here. We can go ahead and blow those candles out. I want to remind you again, we have three more of these services. Well, we have four more. 1 to 11,
yep.
1 tomorrow night at 6, and Christmas Eve at 6 and 11. And again, what brighter way to shine your light than invite someone you know that needs to hear this message. Amen. Now, I'm going to be a little rude and say, don't come back unless you bring someone with you, because they're going to be the exact same services. But if you bring somebody back that might need to hear this message. And again, we need all the candles blown out, every single one. There's always one. If you can blow a candle out there, that'd be great. Somebody blow it out for them. There we go. God bless you all. Have a Merry Christmas, and we'll see you again next weekend.